Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, a jubilant Congressman Mark Amaday for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are talking to, I presume, a jubilant Congressman Mark Amaday on the passage of the Comprehensive Tax Reform Bill. Am I correct, sir?
Hey, Sam, don't be throwing that jubilant word around recklessly, huh? I'm happy. It's a... I think it's some strong work, and it's been coming for a while. It's been a hard-fought battle, which will continue to be fought in terms of trying to get out facts and encouraging people to run figures and what its impact is in Nevada and elsewhere and all that other stuff. So in that sense, it's like everything else that's at the federal level these days. You have a very real competition between perception and what we think the facts are. But other than that, I'd be jubilant. It's like, okay, our work's all done, but there's still plenty to do.
To say the least. The speaker was so excited when he gaveled, he actually dropped the gavel, right?
Well, yeah, and I guess that was from having to do it twice, huh? maybe his hand cramped up or something like that. Ultimately, it wasn't a big deal, but, you know, I mentioned the word perception before, and so even though it may have been a small thing for something that a lot of folks had worked on for a long time and been very careful and like, hey, we've scrubbed this for bird rules in the Senate and blah, 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 it was just a little bit of a, if you got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. The fact that you had to do it twice, but that's not the main part of the story, fortunately.
And what do you consider to be the main part of the story? Just getting the thing done? Because, I mean, it was done in 2 months, which is incredibly fast.
Well, you know, I attribute it, Sam, to the difference. Healthcare has a lot of moving parts, right? You've got clinics, you've got patients, you've got retired people, you've got young people, you've got private plans, you've got hospitals, you've got pharmacies, you've got all these moving parts, that most of which are not in the control of the federal government, as opposed to tax, which is you've got the Department of Treasury, you've got the IRS, you've got the budget. I mean, basically all the moving parts on the tax issue are within the federal government. We administer our own tax system. So I think that made tax, quite frankly, easier than health care because you controlled almost all the toys in the toy box, if you will. But I'll tell you this, I was surprised because when you remember, I mean, remember when we started out with border adjustability and stuff like that? There were some nasty fights at the dinner table amongst the Republicans at the beginning of this. And so to get beyond that and to the point where it's like, here's what we're doing, and then to actually run the numbers and say, okay, how does this work in Nevada? How does this work in Northern Nevada? How does this work for the vast majority of the population? I got to tell you, my press release said, hey, I'm a little surprised that we went into conference and actually came out with a bill that I think is stronger in terms of putting more money in circulation in the private sector, which should spur economic activity.
And I'm looking at your press release, which just came out, and thank you very much to Logan for sending it to me. You say, based on my research and the history lessons we've learned from the Kennedy and Reagan administrations, I believe it. While only time will tell, I've never been a fan of anyone's predictions regarding the state of our economy a decade from now. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, Sam, you know, we were treated to a lot of pontificating by both sides, really. So when all else fails, why don't you try to stick with the facts? So we went, for instance, with the average tax return in Nevada, $65,000 income. 75% of CD2 people do not itemize. So we ran those numbers in terms of with certain deductions, without certain deductions, what the effect does by changing the brackets. Now, the Senate didn't want to change brackets, so we actually prevailed in that. Say, that's fine, but you're going to lower the rates if you're going to keep seven brackets, doubling the deduction, all that stuff. Bottom line is, if I was on the outside looking in, I'd say, so tell me what the difference in my tax return from the last year I do it under the old thing to the first year this one is. And so when I say facts and circumstances, we've been pretty transparent on our website and on newsletters over the last, you know, month when it really got intense to go, here's why I'm going to vote yes, and if somebody's got some information that they think we missed, let me know. And the other half of that, Sam, is as I'm looking at stuff yesterday when it reaches a crescendo, somebody puts out, oh, you're taking $25 billion out of Medicaid. It's like, no, you're not. I mean, technically you could do that, but it's never been done before. There's no reason to think you would now. So quite frankly, while it may be a technical possibility, as a practical matter, it's never been done. Another one you heard is 83% of the benefit is going to 1% of the people. It's like, well, okay, if that's true, that's a problem. Tell me what the 83, how did you define 83%, and who are the 1% you're referring to, so we can look at context in terms of, you know, it's like, listen, if you got some figures that support that, that's fine. Let's just use it in context instead of a blanket drama statement. So, you know, I think that'll continue for a while, which is basically, it's like, hey, guess what? Where this will really come home to people, Sam, isn't this April, but it's next April when people are going, okay, it's a new system, and we're filling out our taxes, so let's see how this works.
Well, and also people are going to see it in February in their paychecks.
Yeah, and that too. There's some moving parts there, too, where you say, well, listen, what's the percentage of people that pay the vast majority of the tax? It's like, hey, if there's benefit that's commensurate with the fact that you pay 80% of the tax, you know, we looked at it, and I think we put the numbers in there where it's like, for those people earning $65,000, the effect on them is like a 70 or 60% increase in your tax return or decrease in your tax liability. People in Nevada who earn $200,000, it's not as good as for the $65,000. You know, it's like 14 or 15% benefit in terms of the reduction in your tax posture or whatever. So anyhow, I mean, you look at all that and you say, well, listen, in terms of trying to take care of the vast majority of working folks out there, when this class warfare stuff starts, it's like, well, if you want to go on percentages, clearly those people were big winners and they should be. If you want to go on simplicity, where you don't have to be a CPA to figure out what the heck you owe while having your tax bill go down, then I think it's a pretty good effort. But I do want to make this clear, Sam. There's more work to be done on that. So I think Ways and Means, probably for the next 2 years, will be, you know, working with, hey, we got a tune-up here or there, or there was a glitch here or there. But as far as, you know, like you said, and like a lot of my colleagues on Ways and Means, you know, I said that, hey, the attending physician up here had to order a lot of arm splints because there was a lot of broken arms patting themselves on the back. And like I said, that's that Winston Churchill thing, you know, treat the victory like a gentleman and defeat like a man. Now, Winnie was a little challenged on that gender stuff, but, I mean, you get the point there.
All right, let's take a break. More with Congressman Amaday on A Joyous Day for Republicans right after this.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Congressman Mark Amaday, with the GOP finally notching a 2017 victory while bracing for the 2018 verdict, according to the New York Times. One thing I wanted to throw in on the positive side, potentially, is that because the way that this bill was passed, which was reconciliation, so it didn't need the two-thirds majority in the Senate, just a simple majority, that this didn't allow for the tax relief for the general public to be made permanent. And so that could go away after 2 or 3 years. But my presumption is that nobody is going to allow that to happen, because I think that would be instantly out of office for everybody that voted against it.
Well, and your description is accurate. I think it's 8 years, though. It applies for 8 years, and if it's not renewed, then they go back on the personal side. And, of course, everybody's first reaction is, what do you mean it's not permanent? And that's a result of the Byrd rule in the Senate in terms of, you know, when you use the reconciliation thing over there, I guess, and please, nobody think that I'm an expert on procedure in the Senate. But anyhow, that was the reason why you couldn't make it permanent there. So, like we did a few years ago with the Bush-era tax cuts, you know, they were set to expire, and so it was around the fiscal cliff time. That was part of the deal during the fiscal cliff stuff that made like 85% of the Bush tax cuts, which affected like 98% of the population, permanent, because they were getting ready to sunset or expire or whatever. So you're absolutely right. That'll be something where it's like, listen, we need to go ahead and make this permanent. The challenge, Sam, as you know, from watching even the Nevada legislature, is don't give us another 4 years. Make them permanent. People want predictability and stability. So don't set up another big showdown in a gunfight 48 months down the road, which, by the way, appears to be the way of doing business so far on appropriations bills, which is a different negative rant for me. But so anyhow, you're absolutely right. Like, they need to be made permanent. So that's one of the follow-on things that that I would hope we would handle here actually next year, not kick it down the road to the 116th Congress.
All right. So now, We've given you the congratulations. Now let's take a look at some of the comments from the other side. Dina Titus will be on this program tomorrow, and this is her statement on the GOP tax scam vote in the House. She said, with this jobs cut and tax scam bill, the GOP, to paraphrase Clint Eastwood, is pissing on our boots and calling it rain. Republicans have crafted a bill that will cost $2.2 trillion, increase the deficit by at least $1 trillion, and target the social safety net that serves at-risk communities in District 1. 13 million Americans will lose health care coverage. $25 billion in Medicare cuts begin next month. Medicaid slashes are in the crosshairs, and student loans will double. Finally, state and local programs will likely be on the chopping block because of the reduction in revenues. Congressman Amaday, you have the floor.
Well, I love her colorful language because, as you know, I use it occasionally. All I can say is this. We've gone out with every one of those claims. I already indicated to you that the Medicare drama would require that Congress actually use PAYGO, which it's never used before. There are commonly waivers referred to in that. So there you go. The whole premise, and by the way, I'm going to see Dina in a little bit. I'll tell her that we talked and say, hey, I want to welcome you to the to the Budget Deficit Caucus, welcome to the team. Because, Sam, there weren't those prognostications when we were talking how to pay for things like Medicaid expansion and some of the other social programs. And so it's like, hey, it's nice to know that's the case now, and I'll look forward to reminding her about her budget hawk stance on future things. Here's the deal. If you fundamentally want to ignore that over history, when this is done in the past, and it's not done very often, that when you put significant amounts of new cash flow in the private sector, that people and corporations tend to spend that on everything, Sam, from advertising to equipment to more employees to you name it, and that creates, and I don't think it's a Democrat or a Republican thing, that creates more tax transactions, which increase tax revenues. One of the more recent ones, the dot-com boom that we experienced it throughout the nation, but especially we felt that in Nevada because it was just over the hill, and we've got some of those companies in the Truckee Meadows. The dot-com boom produced incredible additional spending in the private sector for all of those things we talked about, and taxes went up, and during the Clinton administration, the budget was actually balanced. Not because we raised taxes, but because the economy was doing very well. And so as we look at the first year of this administration, regardless of who you give credit for, put that aside, it's like it's growing at 4%, employment's going up. It's like, guess what? That's going to bring in more tax revenue. So if you think that this is something that is going to cause no change in the private sector, then we're all idiots. I, however, don't believe that, and I think there's quite a bit of economic evidence to suggest that we should expect something along those lines. Will we keep watching it? Absolutely. But like I said at the end of that statement, I've never been a big fan of drama predictions for a decade down the road when, quite frankly, there's a lot of moving parts involved.
All right, let's take another break. More with Congressman Amadei. He's here for the whole show right after this.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Congressman Mark Amadei. So let's talk about this bill and its ramifications, because it's interesting from so many perspectives. One of the knocks against the bill has been that corporations won't use it to hire people or expand their production in this country, but they'll use it for buying back their stock or giving out dividends. But a lot of Democratic folks have their money invested in these companies, and they would also benefit even if that were to occur.
Yeah, let me just tell you this. I think the whole... and I don't know whether this is accurate or not, but I think it's in the ballpark. The whole class warfare thing about somehow a corporation's a bad thing. The last I checked, Sam, there's a lot of people in the Truckee Meadows who work for a business entity, a corporation, a partnership, or something or other, which means their paychecks, which means their federal withholding, which means their health care. 50% of Nevadans in CD2s, health care comes from private employers. So it's like, listen, if your employer is doing well, I think that's a good thing for the people that the employer employs, that the employer hires consultants, that the employer buys goods and services from. So, I mean, while it may sound good in terms of whipping up class warfare stuff, quite frankly, as a guy who grew up in a house where the main breadwinner was a classified state employee, and my mom worked for a physician there, it's like, listen, when the physician was doing well, and the state was doing well, then guess what? Those employees did well. So I think it's a pretty basic thing where you go, listen, somehow trying to set up business entities as some outfit that takes, and doesn't give. I mean, Sam, you know, you've been there a long time. It's like, look at all those ones that are doing everything from sponsoring soccer teams to helping out with, you know, the food bank and other things like that. It's like, come on, folks, let's talk about the policy instead of trying to find an emotional button to push.
All right, so let's talk about employment. With the unemployment rate in this country, somewhere between 4 and 5%, you're pretty much at the point of realistically full employment. Anybody who wants a job can get one. Now you have huge construction industry boom, northern and southern Nevada, California because of the wildfires, Houston and Florida because of the flooding, Puerto Rico the flooding. Where are we going to get these employees if these businesses do, as you hope, expand? Don't we need to take a serious look at immigration and figure out how to bring people legally into this country, not necessarily for citizenship, but just for jobs?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you this. As a guy who grew up in Carson City and has worked in and around the Truckee Meadows his whole life, you know, when things all went in the tank in 2007, 2008, the only construction folks that I know that survived that are ones who basically became a quarter or a third of what they used to be. And so now they're trying to react to this stuff, although they're more cautious because, you know, they've seen steep up climbs go into steep declines. And rightfully so, but you're sitting there looking at that, and quite frankly, it's a big challenge for the local government folks. You know, the Gino Martinis and the Hillary Sheevies and the Bob Krolls of the world, in terms of how do you grow responsibly and how do you do that in a way that, you know, the good news is Tesla and those folks need workers. The bad news is there's no place for them to live. And that's a daunting task. And then the other thing, Sam, is once you find a place for them to live, what's the affordability? You know, during the Kenny Guinn governor days, if you had a $70,000 a year job, it was yee-haw. Well, guess what? That's kind of a challenge in terms of housing in our areas right now. 80 East out of Reno is like, what do we do about that? So all of that stuff is like, let me tell you what, those are some tough problems, which is why we've tried to be in front of the infrastructure issues in terms of how unique they are for our part of the world. They're not just roads, but they're schools, they're fiber optics, they're, you know, the whole nine yards. And to be honest with you, I mean we're going to, infrastructure and healthcare are going to be, I think, the number one, two, and three is immigration. In some order for right off the bat after New Year's. I think that the administration, you've seen them telegraph, they want to do something that's merit-based. I can tell you this. I don't think that there's anybody, regardless of where you feel, how you feel about the issue, that thinks the status quo is okey-dokey. I'll just tell you. I mean, I've said it before. We have to do the reforms and make it, because the last time was during Ronald Reagan. It was 30-some-odd years ago. Quite frankly, there's a lot of things that have changed in the world in the last 30 years, and immigration's one of them. We got to take care of some problems that are left over, and I think the president's going to get some support for the merit-based stuff just basically because there are countries around the world that are doing that sort of thing where you say, hey, if it's in the best interest of my communities, my states, and my nation, then that ought to be the basis for people coming in.
And that's where we have to leave it. Congratulations, Congressman. Big victory for you today.
Hey, listen, when these guys quit holding me hostage, I'll look forward to seeing you in person, you know, but I'm not going to whine on the program any more than that.
And we'll be right back.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
On our next broadcast from the other side of the aisle, Congresswoman Deena Titus. We'll see you then.